Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is writer Sarah Wood, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. I offer a show every Tuesday just for patrons called What's Up, where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever's on my mind. I also offer an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Look at the different tiers and support the show today. Now grab your favorite beverage and enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome back to the show, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
It's every day's crazy, right? Every fucking day. It's like, hey, you turn on the news and it's fucking crazy.
It's pretty bizarre. Like, I got texts and messages from everybody and their mother of the giant thing in front of the White House for
the fighting. Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say.
I don't, who knows what to say about that?
Out of words. I'm just like, yeah, it's fucking crazy. I don't know what to say.
Oh, my God. So there's a bunch of things we're going to talk about today. But before we get into the meat, I just want to say, for all the people who have followed me specifically on Facebook, my mom went to the emergency room last Friday. Her fucking blood pressure was 250/124, which is like death territory, stroke and death territory. So she wound up spending the night at the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong with her. They checked her thyroid. They checked her heart. They did an EKG. She went to her doctor yesterday. Nothing's wrong with her heart. And basically, long and short, what she thinks this is she has had bouts of chronic fatigue syndrome for approximately 15 years. And there's maybe been five times where she's had episodes. And this one was absolutely the worst. But because her blood pressure has never gotten this high before. But anyway, so she's okay, knock on wood. She's okay. So, you know, it was just scary and upsetting. But I will say, at the end, when we're finished with our politics conversation, I want to talk about a person I found on YouTube that I really like while I was kind of going through all of this, which was actually very helpful to me. So anyway. But okay, I want to just, let's see, where should we even start? Should we start off with the...
First of all, I want to say I'm glad your mom is home and she's... Oh. Yeah, I'm glad she's okay. Like, that was scary. So I'm glad
she's... Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I didn't even let you say anything.
No, that's okay.
Well, I just feel like I always feel like I don't want to bug everybody too much with my personal stuff. But thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's always upsetting when your parent is in the hospital. So that's not fun. I hate it.
For sure.
And, okay. So I want to talk... Oh, wait a minute. You know, I forgot this one. Fucking... Pam Bondi has been diagnosed with cancer, but have you seen the Dow?
I know. Everybody's saying that joke.
Of course they are.
And it's like, it's funny. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't feel funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but not sorry. Like,
right.
I have lost my favorite humans on this earth to cancer. Cancer's no fucking joke. It fucking sucks, but God damn it.
Yeah.
That woman took everyone's pain in this economy and was like, but look at the Dow. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was an appropriate response.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't care that I'm not being original. Fuck her. Anyway. Yeah. So moving on now. Yeah. So Donald Trump, endorses Paxton and Pat. Okay. So MM on X. Okay. Twitter. I should say Twitter. MM on Twitter says, Ken Paxton won Starr County, Texas with 73% of the vote. That's a total shellacking until you realize only 90 Republicans turned out to vote. Only 90. It was in that wherever they were. But it's not like all of Texas. I wish. Wouldn't that be funny if all of Texas, only 90 Republicans? But it was just in that one little area. Now, I'm just going to say, I obviously Trump's endorsement, it was described as the most powerful force in politics by Paxton himself, described Trump's endorsement.
I'm sure Paxton said that.
Of course he did.
Probably picked is the most powerful endorsement. He's like picturing Trump like thrust into him with his lack of a penis. It's gonna be, yeah. Jesus Christ, these people. It's like whenever they. It's like, oh,
Well,
this will be studied in like
oh, hell yes.
20 years. They'll be like, what the fuck was this cult? And like every time they're like,
Right.
oh, this was the best, and he's doing everything. Trump is the best ever. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. It's insane, isn't it? You know what? Okay. For instance, there's this woman that I don't know her personally, but she's a fucking lunatic MAGA. And when I say lunatic, it goes beyond her politics because things that she posts are like, it's like some conspiracy theory guy who's claiming that, okay, let me see if I can get this right, that JonBenet Ramsey isn't dead and it's really Katy Perry. And then
Sorry.
Marilyn Monroe didn't die. It was really, oh God, what was Andy Warhol. And then he has these videos to prove his point. And like maybe he'll find a spot on a face and he'll circle and say, see, this proves that Marilyn Monroe is really Andy Warhol. And she posts this shit. So whack job. She's beyond political whack job. She's like all the way into whack job. And she reposted the, I guess the White House did that thing where they threw Colbert into the garbage. Now, this woman is
Yeah.
also Catholic and always posts Bible verses. And it's like, they don't even see their own hypocrisy. If Joe Biden had done this to anybody, which of course he wouldn't, of course he would not. No Democratic president, in fact, no Republican president before Donald Trump would ever post shit like this. And
No,
they
that's the
retweet
thing.
it or repost it. And then if Biden were to do it, they would be all fucking aghast. Isn't it just disgusting to see how they be? I can't get over it.
No,
I've
they
said that so
embrace
many times.
it. They embrace it. It's like the broification of our entire system. Like, and like anyone who's leaning into that on the left can go fuck themselves. I've said it. Like, fuck you.
We always love a dirty Sarah.
Yeah.
Miss Profane Sarah, we just never can get enough. But I think what's interesting here, now, Ken Paxton, who was impeached by his own party, now, I mean, all of these things that on his resume very like easily line up with Donald Trump, right? Impeached but not removed, just horrible, forgives pedophiles, maybe I don't know that he's a pedophile, but he's certainly pedophile friendly, right? And especially now since he's gotten the endorsement from the biggest one in the country. So you've got this on the Republican side. And then you've got Tallarico. And I just think Tallarico is a fascinating character because he's, you know what my mom said, and I agree with her. She thinks like she said the best Democrat that she can compare him to is Jimmy Carter. And I think that's a good comparison.
Oh, I think so too. That's a great comparison.
Yeah, because he is Christian left, and I mean, I'm not a Christian at all. I wasn't raised with religion. I don't buy into it at all. However, it doesn't bother me. Like when Joe Biden would talk about his faith, because he doesn't force it on me. It doesn't bother
Exactly.
me. So when
Exactly.
Tallarico talks about, I mean, God, and then Tallarico was talking about abortion, and I don't know if you saw that. You must have seen that clip, but he was basically saying, well, it was never mentioned in the Bible.
It wasn't.
So, yeah. So it's like, it's not my place to say anything. Now, what I find interesting, and this is what I want to ask you, because I know you were raised in a religious environment, with tolerant, loving, family members. And I'm just, specifically, okay, now let me ask you a question. The way that you were raised, were you informed that abortion was bad, or were you informed that it should be left up to the woman?
It was bad. I was raised
Okay.
that it was bad. Yeah.
So now, do you think that, let's just say members of your family, I'm not going to get into specific people, but just members of your family who were raised with that religion, and then they see new laws that allow for women, to die. Like they have to keep, I don't want to say allow, that force women to carry dead fetuses and put their own lives at risk. And if they get an abortion, they could go to jail or whatever. Do you think that people who you know, whether it's in your family or not, who were raised in this religion, would listen to Tallarico and say, look, I see what's going on. I see where people have been imprisoned or whatever it is, you know, left for dead or died because they couldn't get the medical care that they needed. Do you think they would still go with the Republican Party who just says it's bad and it should be outlawed? Or do you think they would listen to someone like Tallarico who is religious and telling them you get to make your own choice?
They would go with Tallarico. Well, they went with Biden too. So it's like,
Right.
it comes down to what's happening to the Republican Party is they're pushing the actual Christians out. They're pushing the actual
Interesting.
Christians,
Right, yeah.
like to the center, maybe to the left,
Yeah.
definitely out of MAGA. So the ones that are left in MAGA that they'll call themselves Christian.
Right.
It's like I can put on a basketball jersey and say I play for the WNBA. It doesn't mean that I play for the WNBA. These
Right.
people can post a Bible verse on their Twitter or whatever, and it doesn't make them Christian.
Well, and then what's interesting too is, you know, as soon as this race was called, all of the big name, you know, callers in politics about where things are have taken Texas into what was it, likely Republican into leaning Republican. And people like Charlotte Clymer, and I can't remember who else. I know I did not watch it, but I was informed that on MSN, I think it, I don't know which show it was, MS Now. Just talking about, and it might have been on Chris Hayes. Somebody was talking about Tallarico saying he's going to win, or he's got really good chances. Now, this is Texas. We
I think so.
all get happy about Texas, and then we all get disappointed. Beto came really, really close, but I think there is a difference, and I want to know what you see the differences between Beto and Tallarico. But I think there is a difference between the two.
First off, I love them both. I love Beto and I love Tallarico. Beto comes off a little more lefty in your face, whereas Tallarico comes off more measured
Yeah.
and like center left.
And then he's got the whole religious angle.
And he's got the religious angle.
And I think in Texas that really does play. I do.
100% plays. Texas, the South, everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah, I mean
100%.
it's they're going to try to rip them to shreds. You know, they're going to do their dirty tricks and they're going to try to say everything that they can, but I think, you know, this guy has a really special quality about him. He knows what he's doing. I think I think it was Parker Malloy who posted on Blue Sky saying something like, you know, I can't believe that he's being ripped by the left because he thanked John Cornyn. And you know what? I disagree. I don't think we should tear him up for that. I understand what he's doing. He's really fucking smart because he's reaching across the aisle. And I think that we're walking a fine line here right now because we've got all these people in the country who are just so divisive and they're so angry and they put us in a situation that are causing so many people to suffer, whether it's financial suffering, it's always having to do with financial, but it's, you know, healthcare, whatever it is, abortion rights. Immigration rights, all these things, people are suffering. And okay, I'm completely losing my point. Where was I? What did I just say? I hate when
Oh
that
no,
happens.
when people, when we're kind of like
Oh,
purity tests and like,
right. Yeah, we're in this divided point. And so I think it's extremely important, especially in leadership in the Democratic Party, that we find as many voters as we can get, right? And so some of those voters, like I doubt we're going to get many MAGA voters. So we don't have to worry about that. But we do want more voters. I
That's
think.
just it. If we don't vote, if we don't get voters, we don't win. If we don't win, nothing can happen. So if we're demonizing a lot of people, I mean, okay, so for instance, I live in Connecticut and there is the Democratic primary because the primary challenger to the current governor, who is a Democrat, he was able to rally enough support to be on the ballot in August. And this is causing an internal rift in Connecticut. Here's the thing, I love it. First of all, I am with the opponent. I love the new guy. Ned Lamont's been around for two terms and he's a billionaire who's bought the election every time and nothing has changed or taxes have gone up. So it's like, but there's such a purity test within the party itself in Connecticut that it's like they're being so awful to this other guy who is a Democrat. And it's like, we need to really look in and work at ourselves as a party because like the Republicans, they're fucking lockstep. They are lockstep and they are able to do that. And did you see the latest attack on Tyler Rico from Stephen Miller, who I call Goebbels, like or Goebbels or whatever?
Gobbles, is he
Like yeah,
gobbles?
calling him like transgender candidate, and I'm just like,
Transgender,
I'm like, first of all, what the
what
fuck? But like, secondly, this is their thing.
an
Like
asshole.
what I've been facing, like working with campaigns and stuff like that, the biggest thing on the ground with Republicans right now is the transgender issue, and I think Democrats need to really fucking get a hold of that because it's awful, and we're treating people awful. And they were what I know what they were doing with that. I know what Miller was doing with that. He's testing it to see if it sticks, and then they're going to run with that in Texas to make him like the transgender loving candidate. So that people vote against him. They're using the trans issue, and that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's disgusting how Republican Party is just politicizing and weaponizing ways that people are. And I mean, just ways they were born, ways that weaponizing who people are. It's disgusting. And yeah, I hope that that backfires. I hope it doesn't take, but we just can expect absolutely the worst out of all of them. But going back to what I said, I think too that we have to, and how can I say this? Right now, I mean, we all know that independents are the ones who are basically going to decide the elections. And so a lot of them are right-leaning. And I think it's really important that, like, for instance, with Tallarico saying, "Thank you, John Cornyn." Okay, so think about what that looks like to an independent voter who voted for Cornyn.
Exactly.
And so,
That's exactly right.
And so it's like that. Then that voter goes, maybe they're an asshole and maybe they're going to hate Tallarico no matter what he does. But then there's going to be that independent who is open and says, "Well, this guy's not too bad. He's not one of those radical leftists," or whatever they think, whatever they think. But yeah, that's, I think it's like we have to remember that because, there's so much knee-jerk and emotional reaction out there. And I know that there are oops, I know that there are trolls. I know that there are bot accounts. I mean, we just saw a report that there's all these new Russian trolls on Blue Sky. So we always have to take that into account. But I think it's just really important that we remember that we're all here together. We're all living in the American house together. We share a big house in America. And so Tallarico is saying, "Hey, we're all here. I'm gonna do what's good for you no matter how you voted. And I'm grateful for the people who came before me." I mean, that's fucking smart. And
He's
I just
running a
think,
red state Democrat campaign. That's what you
yes,
have to do
yes,
if you
yes,
want to
yes.
win. You have to run that way. And that's what a lot of people like up here in the North don't understand about
Right.
Texas and the South is like, you almost strip away parties at that point and you're just voting for the candidate. And that's what you have to do.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
have to run as a candidate and not as a party. You have
Right.
to appeal to the voters.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens in Texas. It's going to be interesting, and I'll
It's going to
tell
be
you,
interesting.
I do not want to deal with that night. Like, I wish I could. I won't do it, but I just wish I could take a fucking sleeping pill and wake up the next day because I'm gonna. It's I can't. The last election we went through left a knot in my stomach for 6 weeks. My mother was gonna move to Portugal. My 79-year-old mother was gonna move to Portugal. Thankfully, she did not. And we're past that point now. She's not leaving the country no matter what happens. But it was just so fucking awful. Oh my God. All right, I'm gonna switch it over. Have you heard about the new proposed bill in North Carolina about women?
The abortion one, the one with
Yes.
like at fertilization.
Yes, Republicans. So basically, a bill was introduced. It was on May
Yeah.
13th. Republicans would amend the North Carolina Constitution to declare that a distinct and separate human life begins at the moment of fertilization. So basically, somebody can legally kill a woman for having an abortion or getting an IUD, right? I mean, it's anything, right? Well, maybe not getting an IUD. This wouldn't necessarily have to do with birth control.
It's so absurd. Back
I
in the
don't
day,
even know.
I wrote a satire article for my old website, and it was, I think I said Kansas or whatever. I just picked a red state. And I was
Right.
like, Kansas legislature introduces bill to make life begin at the sparkle in a dad's eye or something like a sparkle in a man's eye, a twinkle in his eye, something
Right.
like that. And it was so absurd. And of course,
Yeah.
people knew it was satire. And like, but now we're edging closer.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
I mean, so yeah, and like, what does this mean? So if a woman is pregnant and she doesn't want to be, somebody could just go up and shoot her, and that's legal. But here's the thing. I mean, wait. I like my mind is going crazy because it's like it's against the law to murder somebody, but it would be legal to kill somebody carrying a person that they're calling a person, but then that person inside her would die too. So then they've killed both. Like, what the fuck is this law?
By their logic, yeah,
It's
it's crazy. It's I can't even
Let me see
wrap
something
my
here.
head.
So it says
Or
the
it's like
bill.
the person that gets raped is going to have a harsher punishment than the person who did
Well,
the right
that's
thing.
usually the case anyway.
Well, yeah, but
Whether
this
or
is
not it's an
so
imposed.
obvious.
Yeah. It says the bill grants every person the right to use deadly force to defend the life of another person from the willful destruction, which combined with the bill's murder classification for abortion would legally permit a third party to kill a woman seeking an abortion in the name of self-defense. So, yes. Okay, you've got a pregnant woman, and under their definition, that pregnant woman has got a person in her, right? And they're
They're
going to
just
kill
making this
her.
shit up as they go.
Yeah, and so,
They're
but
not
they're not even
operating from
thinking. It's
any
like, well,
form of logic.
they're killing the fetus.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah,
Oh my
this doesn't
God.
make any sense.
I
It
can't
doesn't,
imagine this stupid fucking bill would pass.
because it's
Like,
not in
it's
the Bible. This
legal.
is not in the Bible. This is not, if
Right.
we're going by the Old Testament, life will begin at first breath.
But they don't care what
If
the
we're
Bible
going by the New
says.
Testament, it's never mentioned.
They don't
And life
care
of
what
the
the Bible
mother,
says.
I,
They
and
just,
that's
they,
just it.
yeah,
They don't
right.
care. They're just making this shit up as they go along, and like they always do, they use the Bible as justification for their hate and their disgusting behavior. It's awful.
Yeah, like when I started talking about all this shit back in 2012, it was, I started with Rock the Slut Vote because I wrote an open letter to Rush Limbaugh from a liberal slut. And this woman created this, she was a boomer and she created Rock the Slut Vote because she's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And, all us women are going to reclaim that word slut because fuck you, Republican Party. And it was funny too because my dad, I had said something to my father and mother. I'm like, should I do this? And they're like, yeah, do it. And then afterward in 2012, when Obama won, my dad's like, well, that's it. It's all over. I'm like, what? And he's like, well, the whole slut thing is over. I'm like, what? I don't think so, Dad. And so, yeah, my dad was wrong about that. But it's like I thought that, we would, as we progressed as a country, that we take a few steps forward, take a step back, take a few steps forward, take a step back. But instead, we've just taken all these steps back. Now we just live in this country where they're threatening to create, to pass legislation where you could just murder women legally. Sure, just
Pretty
kill
soon
her.
they're going to be like, I looked at this woman in a bar. I thought about sleeping with her. And
And I
now,
thought if I got her
yeah,
pregnant, she'd probably have an abortion, so I'm going
she'd
to
have
kill
an
her.
abortion. So I'm going to kill her.
Yeah,
I'm
I
just
mean,
going
it's
to, I'm going to,
unbelievable.
yeah, it's, we need these laws for men.
I know. Well, we live in a patriarchy right now, so we don't get those laws. And
Yeah.
it's so funny because I just want to clarify one more time for people who don't really know. When we talk about matriarchy, I don't want people, at least on my show and when I talk about it online, I am not talking about only women ruling. I'm talking about a culture that is based on protecting the most vulnerable, the circle around the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's, I always go to the fact that the Democratic Party is the one who puts out patriarchal legislation, no matter if it's a man or a woman who does it.
Yep.
Obama put out the ACA. That is matriarchal legislation. It's taking care of each other. He wanted to go further than the bill actually went. And of course, the idea was, well, in time, right? Because I think Rahm Emanuel was the one who wanted to take out the Medicare for all option, but or whatever that the single payer option. Some and unfortunately, a lot of centrist Democrats killed that, and it could have just been there. It just makes me so mad. So you take a look at somebody like Obama, and he's matriarchal. So it doesn't just mean women are ruling everything. It's not the opposite of patriarchy. It's just that
Well,
we take care of each other.
that's correct. Yeah. What they think of, like these people think of as matriarchy, is they're looking at it through a patriarchal lens. They're like, we're going to see the
Right.
patriarchy, we're just going to flip it. Now it's
Right.
going to be women in charge, and women are like, no,
Right.
that's still the patriarchy
Right,
mindset. No,
exactly.
what we're thinking is this is a circular mindset where we're all in this together.
Yes, and taking care of each other,
Yeah.
making sure that, I mean, it's so awful as I'm dealing with aging parents and they're broken up, right? My parents split up in the 70s. So my mom's single, my dad's remarried. It's, thankfully, my dad has another family that I can share the, I don't know, responsibility of an aging parent with. With my mother, it's just all me. And so I wish we had better. Just everything better to take care of the elderly in this country. It's usually
Yeah.
humiliating. It's like when my mother, when my, and this is just small, but when my mom was, dealing with what she was dealing with, the young woman doctor, who was a good doctor and meant well, kept saying, because of your age, because of your age, because, and my mom's like, would you please stop framing everything because of my age? And she was like, this happened to me in my 60s. This is just a
Yeah.
recurring problem. It's, sure, I'm old. I don't need to be reminded every 5 seconds. Anyway, but it's just the idea of, I mean, I can't remember if I saw this on Facebook, and I don't know if it was a fantasy or if they did it in some Norland country or something, but it was just like this whole community for people who had Alzheimer's and dementia. So it's like an enclosed community with restaurants and movie theaters and parks and things. So no one's going to get lost.
It's safe,
Everybody's going to be
yeah.
taken care of. And they've got people who are caring, taking care of people. And
Yeah.
that's important because, like, I remember the first time I ever heard the term elder abuse, I didn't even know what it meant. I just didn't even understand what that meant. I do now,
Yeah.
obviously, but I was very young when I
Yeah.
heard it. But it was like,
It's
oh, it's
fucked up.
because, yeah, it's like people are fucking cruel. And it's like,
People are awful. Yeah.
we need to figure out ways to handle, all these people who are aging and need help.
And a lot of these times, like in these like centers and whatnot, it's like they're not paid well, so you're
No.
not going to be attracting the best quality
Right.
candidates working the place.
Exactly.
I mean, in my own family, I mean, my wife and her family, like her aging parents, and then they have her grandmother also still living with them. She's 105 years old,
Wow.
but like because of the way things are, it's like one of those like catch-22 where you make too little to go into a home, you make, or it's like it's one of those, and it's just, it's really, really hard. And we do not have a system. And now, and also in Connecticut, and this is a direct endorsement for anything but Ned Lamont, we tax Social Security. So our own money, we tax it on our seniors, and our seniors are on a fixed income. So while they're taxing Social Security and seniors are receiving less money, we're also raising property taxes on their homes. So it's like,
Yeah.
what are you doing? We're gonna have all these seniors out on the
I
street. It's
know. It's like,
insane.
oh God. Oh my God, we've got to fix everything like now. Now, now,
Yeah.
now. Okay,
Sorry,
one
I got
last.
passionate about that because it's something
No.
I'm dealing with personally right
Yeah,
this
I know.
moment. Yeah.
Never have to be sorry. But just, let's just cross over to the fact that the government is going after, or I'd say the DOJ. Is going after E. Jean Carroll. They're investigating E.
Of
Jean
course
Carroll
they.
now.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So he was supposed to pay her $83 million. He hasn't paid her anything, and now she's under investigation. There's a person in my life who will, I'm not going to say who, but every time we hear about Epstein, every time we hear about any kind of sexual assault, this person says, and of course this person is a man. This person says, why don't these victims come forward? And I'm just like, they do, but they don't always because of shit like this. What
Exactly.
does this tell the next woman who comes forward?
That I'm going to have to go through all this fucking shit because a man assaulted me.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, not only do you have to go through perhaps being, investigated by the Department of Justice, you're going to be
For
getting
something
death.
that happened to you. Like, it's so awful. Like, it's the awful. Oh, it's just the worst. It's
I
literally
know.
the worst.
Well, yeah, Adam Parkmenko had said Donald Trump is sending the Justice Department after a woman he raped.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't believe this is going to get past any kind of grand jury. I mean, they've already decided they had a trial, and they decided that she won. So I can't imagine. But who the hell knows? He's weaponizing the government, and it's just disgusting because we're seeing it unfold all the time. Okay, now this is going to kind of bring me. We can always go back to this, but I'm just going to say that it's funny because. Like, have you noticed? I think you must have noticed, if you've got eyes, the uptick in social posts about Donald Trump dying. Like,
I
they're everywhere
have.
now. They're
They're prep.
everywhere.
I think they're prepping us. I think they're prepping us.
Well, but it's also fucking like, yeah, Rick Wilson did Trump is dying. And then it made me laugh because Keith Edwards, I posted this on Blue Sky, but like, I'm scrolling through YouTube and I see this Keith Edwards video, and the thumbnail is the picture of Donald Trump with his, mouth slouching to the side. And then there's a big arrow pointing to it. Like the big yellow
Oh,
arrow.
that's this clickbait. Now they're
Yeah.
just one like, oh,
I
Trump
know,
is
but
dying. Watch my video.
I get that. But the thing is it's everywhere. Like you're seeing everybody talking about Trump dying, regardless, like clickbait or not. It's like, I feel like there's like this thing where we're like trying to speak it into existence. And then of course there's always the people who want to come on and explain to you and say, "Well, if he dies, it's going to be worse," or if he dies. It's like, you know what? I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. There is the unknown factor. Nobody knows exactly how this is going to affect everybody. I mean, we all know there's going to be a big party, the world's going to celebrate, blah blah blah. But there is, then there's some predictable things. We know some things that are going to happen. We can pretty much guess that it's going to be Vance, right? I mean, I know that I've heard other people arguing that maybe there would be an alternative, but it would be Vance.
It's
And
gonna
he
be
would,
Vance. That's Peter Thiel's guy. Like, they've
right.
been
And
setting this whole thing up.
exactly. And so when it is Vance, I think we can expect what appears to be a more normal presidency. It won't be, but it'll look a little bit more normal than
Oh, it
Donald
won't
Trump for
be.
sure. But there's the unknown factor. We one thing we do know, they're going to continue to be fascist, right? But maybe they're just Donald Trump has his own bombastic way of behaving in this world, and that's not the way of all of these oligarchs. It's not the way of J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance called him Hitler. So I just, it's like I do though. I think that there's the unexpected thing that we're not going to, that we can't predict. We just can't predict because it's such a big fucking deal. And so, I look at all of this stuff happening right now and I wonder, like, if Trump's dead, are they still going to go after E. Jean Carroll? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that going to happen?
Probably not. I bet
How
you it's it
how
all
much of this
starts to
sh
get washed up.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to be anti-woman. We're still going to see the Republican Party acting like fucking lunatics. But it's like, I just think when Donald Trump dies, and he's just getting worse every day. I was like, I know my boyfriend Bob Seska. I can hear him sometimes when he's doing his show, and plus we talk about things. But he's like, I heard him on a show yesterday saying, every like he's not going to be any better. How can I say, how did he say it? Like each day he gets worse, right? So he's so sick because he's got congestive heart failure. He's probably in the end stages of heart failure. He's probably in the end stages of dementia. And so each and every day he's like progressively worse than the last. So today is the best version of him we're going to get. Tomorrow will be the best version because he's just going to keep getting worse. And then he is going to fucking die at some point. We don't know when, but he's going
I
to die.
mean,
And I just think that there's so much focus on it right now because I think number one, you're right. I think there's a preparation And number two, I think that's also like, let's just speak it into existence because, oh my God, when are you gonna fucking die? And I think the it's like the combination of both. But as far as preparing us, did you I think it might have been disproven and I'm not sure, but did you read that Robert Reich thing that they were talking about the 25th Amendment, that they were fantasizing about it, the right wingers? Did you read that piece?
No, I didn't read
It was
it.
just a bunch of basically he knows a couple of high level right wingers who were kind of fantasizing, not saying this is happening, but fantasizing with the idea that Vance would be talking to people like Rubio and Hegseth and promising them things because they just, they don't need everybody in the cabinet to invoke the 25th. And so they'd only need a certain amount. But I don't necessarily know that that's happening. But I think what it, we're seeing behind the scenes, like for instance, Megyn Kelly, interestingly, okay, so first of all, the Epstein stuff comes out and she's like, well, it's different when you're 12. It's like, it's different when you're 15. It's okay for 50-year-old men to rape 50. That's not what she said, but that's what she implied. It's okay if the girl's 15, not 12. And because we found out some of the girls were 15. And then, so she's basically defending Donald Trump and defending Epstein. And then
And
sometime
defending
later,
rape, yeah.
yeah, defending pedophilia, basically,
Yeah.
even though she has children of that age. And then sometime later, then Trump says he's going to obliterate, part of the world. And her reaction that day was, if he drops a nuclear bomb, I'm still going to vote Republican. And then later that day, she came out and said, I can't remember what she said about him specifically, but that he was basically crazy. What he's saying is insane. And her tone changed in a day. And now she's going around saying he's cheated on all his wives. And if you think he was faithful to Melania, which we know he wasn't because he was with Stormy Daniels, we all know that. She's like, there's something wrong with you or whatever. So she's turning on Trump now. And it's not that she's turning on Trump. She's basically just rebranding because why? The
It's
writing
be
is on the wall.
the writing's on the wall. It's becoming more popular to be against him. Absolutely.
And Tucker
It,
Carlson.
yeah, Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all turning. And then you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tom Massey,
Yeah.
and which I really hope that like Cornyn and like Massey and all these lame duck people fuck him up.
I
Go
know.
fuck him up.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't
Expose
it?
shit.
That would be
Yeah.
so good. I would just
Yeah.
be loving that. I mean, and it's not too
Not a
little too
big,
late. It's not too
no,
little
like
too late.
shine a light, like, do it.
Right. Do it, do
it.
it. Oh my God. Well, okay. So I want to kind of go off into this thing of when my mom was going through her shit, and I was just like trying to not panic, and I didn't. I never panicked and I maintained, but I found this YouTube channel and the girl, okay, it's about she's a 24-year-old girl. And she, let me find my notes. Okay. So she goes by, it's Lana Serene Life. It's LANA, Lana Serene Life, if anybody's interested. And I doubt many people will be interested. But there is a reason I'm bringing her up. And I found her because I think there was a video that said, not married, no children, no friends. And then the little thumbnail said, alone but not lonely. So I thought, okay, let me check this out. So I just became completely mesmerized with this woman. She started her YouTube channel 6 months ago. She's already got almost 100,000 followers. And she just does these like little 11, 12, maybe sometimes or 25 minutes, but they're not very long videos of her life. And she talks about how, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about why she doesn't have any friends, but she's been burned before. And she's also a very sensitive person. She's the sweetest person. And she lives in Ontario, Canada. And she's like, they're so fucking polite. It's unbelievable. But anyway, because like she'll go into the donut shop and she'll say like, may I please have a maple bar, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. May I please have this? Please, please. Thank you. I was like, oh my God, how many pleases and thank yous were in there? Like They are the nicest people on the fucking planet. I know not everybody in Canada is perfect, but they're so fucking polite.
My best friend's Canadian. I totally get
Yeah. And it's like,
it.
she's just so, and she's so sweet. She's only 24 years old and she loves Snoopy and, you know, and she, you get a piece of her life. So you're in her apartment and she just shares her life. She'll take you out on rides and take you to the bookstore. And, but the reason I'm really interested in her is because she talks about romanticizing your life. And that's kind of what I want to focus on. And especially during these times, I want to end the show on something that feels good or feels more positive. Now, I like watching her videos because number one, she puts them together well. They are very soothing. They're very calming. They have a cozy feel. She's good at what she does. At least according to me, you know, we all have our favorites. Like there's a whole thing with cozy vibe videos on YouTube, and they're not all for me. Some of them I'm just not interested. So like each person's going to have the thing, but I love her vibe. And so she talks about romanticizing her life. And like in this one particular video, she loves to drink everything out of a wine glass and she loves ice. Like she likes it either ice cold or very, very hot. So this one particular evening, she's talking about how, you know, I'm going to make some cookies for myself. So she goes into the freezer and she gets her, you know, pre-made cookie dough and she makes like five cookies and then she gets a wine glass and fills it with ice and puts milk in it. And she's like, if you know, you know, which I always love milk with ice. But and then, you know, she just shows herself sitting there on her couch, dipping her cookies into her milk and romanticizing that. Or going to her favorite location, like Lake Spot, and sitting at a bench and just looking out at nature. Little things, going into the bookstore all day and just having fun walking around, you know, reading little bits of books and these little things that, you know, we kind of take for granted and we don't really think about. Nobody, I mean, everybody thinks, oh yeah, I'd like to have a sweet treat, but to really make a big deal out of it and make it fancy. I think that that's a way to get us through some of these really stressful times. You know, I know I've asked you before, you know, what do you like to do? And I want to hear some more because I know like walking in nature, but like what are things that you do that soothe you? I mean, it's so important to feel soothed today because when we look online or when we listen to the news, you know, our nervous systems fall apart.
What's so funny is when you were saying that, all I could think of was how she is treat yourself the way you want to be treated.
Right. That's what it is. Yeah. And then like one of the things that she was saying was, you know, she's not necessarily going to be alone forever. She's just kind of, she decided that I'm going to do this for a while. I don't
That's where she
want.
is in the space, and she's not going to be miserable in that space.
Right.
And I really, no, I admire that. I think that's
Yeah. And
great.
she's discovering herself. And what's so interesting is, you know, I always like to talk about how we manifest. And I've really discovered recently it's so not woo-woo. It's not this woo-woo thing. It's just like our, it's like what our internal baseline is. So like for instance, when my mom was going through her stuff, you know, I normally what happens to me, and it was raining, and I hate driving in the rain, and I get terrified of it. So normally when these kinds of things happen to my mother, I start panicking and I start thinking she's gonna die, and I start thinking all of the you know, like horrible things that could happen. You know, you start stacking this and that and this and that. And I didn't do it. I just didn't do it. And so I look at this girl and I feel like, you know, when something happens to her, because like she's talked about it, like she'll have an incident happen that's upsetting to her. And then she'll talk about how she deals with it. And I think that's really like what she does is she just kind of decides that after she has her little panic attack or freak out attack or whatever it is, she allows herself to feel what she feels, but then she goes back to just remembering who she is. Now, she's not coming from any kind of quantum or anything like that. She's just who I am. Like, let's just get to the center of who I am and let's just get back to me. And I think it's such a good advice. And she's only 24 years old, but I think as far as how she's choosing to be intentional in everything that she does, enjoying herself, finding joy in little things, we all really could learn from that because it's made me appreciate little things to the degree where I found these packets. This sounds so dumb, but I found these packets at the store and it's just crystallized lemon. That's all it is. And so I have been putting it into water and it tastes so fucking good. I put a little bit of
Oh, that's
stevia
nice.
in there. And then, so I put a little sweet, I don't like it too sweet, but just that taste of sweet with the lemon. And it's kind of like lemonade. And it feels good because there's nothing unhealthy in it. It's just a healthy thing to keep at your side all day long. And I've taken a note from her playbook and I'm like, I'm romanticizing my life by getting in enough water, enjoying the water, and feeling really fortunate that I've got this water. You know what I mean? It's like I'm really appreciating that. And I think it's good when we do things like that because it kind of takes us out of all this fucking drama, you know, even if it's just for a minute.
I love mowing my lawn, and it's gonna sound that sounds silly, I guess, but like when I'm doing yard work, it's all I think about. Like when I'm on my little John Deere or when I'm pushing my lawnmower. Yeah, we have a John Deere tractor. You can imagine my 6 foot frame on that thing going around. I look like a toddler on one of those like little cars, like a Barbie car. It's funny. My wife takes a picture and laughs at me every time. But it works and then whatever. But like when I'm doing the yard work, it's like that, or when I'm weed whacking or whatever, it's like that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm thinking about. My
Yeah.
brain is not thinking about work. It's not thinking about what the asshole in the White House is doing. It's not thinking about anything but what I'm doing. And the same thing with my greenhouse. Like when I'm in there, I'm like focusing on like, I gotta get these leaves off the soil. I gotta get, all these things that you need to do when you're cultivating, like my five peppers, and like I want to feed myself, and I cannot eat like a single pepper for a summer and expect sustenance, but like it makes me feel good, so hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's like those things are important. And I was saying something to Bob, like, there's so many videos about coziness. And he's like, yeah, because times are fucking hard. People just want to feel cozy. And it's so true. It's like, there's this other girl that I watch. They're all younger than me, but I think she's like in her 30s. She does have a really cozy vibe. And I like watching her videos. But the one thing I don't like about her is, she spends a lot of time buying things and then showing you what she bought. It's a lot too. She gets a lot of I think she's probably got about 98,000 subscribers on YouTube. So she does get deals. You know, she
Like
gets
all the free shit. Yeah,
the
that's
brands send
awesome.
her,
Good for
and
her.
she'll unpack those and stuff like that. But it's like, but what she'll do is she'll go to stores like Target, which I have not gone to since the election, but she'll go to stores like Target or wherever. And then she'll be like, here's what I bought, and here's all my new clothes. And then it's like, oh my God, she'll like link them in for you to get them. And she gets these pajamas, and they're like $500 pajamas. And it's like, it's after a while, it's just boring. I don't give a shit about how many things she bought. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's still, she's got this cozy vibe going. And one of the things that she does, I love watching people cook, but that she also likes to color. So I am a terrible artist, terrible. So I bought a coloring book and I bought a bunch of Magic markers. And so now I color too. And it's like, it's so soothing to just sit there
I
and
just pictured
color.
myself like showing people what I buy, and it would be like me at Lowe's buying like bird seed and mulch and like, I don't know, an outlet extender.
But people would watch that shit, I'm
I
telling
know
you.
I'm getting ideas. I'm like, well, shit,
Yeah,
this is
that's
good
like
content.
but what makes me laugh is they go to the store, they take you with them to the store, not all of them, but like certain ones. So then you see each thing they pick at the store, and then they come home and then they show you their haul that you've already seen them purchase at the store, but then they show you, I bought, and then they touch it. I bought this lettuce. And I bought this cucumber and I bought these tomatoes and I'm thinking of making this kind of salad and I got these oranges. I mean, it's like, oh my God. And people love to watch the hauls. I don't give a shit about the hauls. I don't care what food you buy. But you know, I like watching people cook. I like looking at different decor and I get ideas from decor. I like stuff like that, you know, so I kind of like pick and choose what I watch. But yeah, you could totally go to fucking Lowe's. You could film yourself going to Lowe's,
I should. That'd be
buying
hilarious.
everything, and then putting it all out on your counter, and then going, I bought some birdseed, and then explain that. And then I bought this wheelbarrow and explain that.
Ha!
They'll
I do
watch
have
it.
a. I did get a wheelbarrow.
People will watch it. It's
They
crazy. It's like
love.
there is an audience. That's the one thing right now. I mean, we've got the social media, and you just get to put up whatever you want, and it's either going to work or it's not. But you'll always find an audience, a big one or a small one, but there's always going to be an audience for you, you know? But I think for you, if you did like a whole fucking YouTube channel with you just taking care of your lawn,
Could do
you
my
know,
lawn.
you just have
Yeah.
to be, you have to know how to edit, you have to know how, and I know you do. It's like
My
you
dogs are barking. I apologize.
oh, I don't even hear them. But
Okay.
yeah, you need a little bit. You need to have that creative element when you're doing the editing and all that. But if you can put to, and I you already know how to do it, but it's like I, you know, people love that shit. It's just it's just
Should.
funny to me. But anyway, that's just some of the things that I like to do. Oh, and I just want to ask you a couple questions before we go. Have you been watching Widow's Bay?
No, I thought you were going to say that show on Prime that everyone's watching, like the Teeny Bopper show that I
No.
absolutely have watched,
What is it?
off campus.
Is it good?
It's very, very cute. It's just like, it's a little steamy, but it's very cute. Like it's very healthy masculinity. So like for that reason alone, I recommend it.
Interesting. And
Yeah.
where do you find that?
That's on Prime. I'm
Prime.
not paid to say this either. I binged it in one night. It was just, it
Really?
was, yeah, it was, it was,
And
it's
what's it
cute.
called? I'm writing it down.
It's called Off Campus. It's
Off
like
campus.
they're in like college
Okay.
and it's this young rom. It reminds me of like the young rom-coms from the 90s, that kind of vibe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm
Like
gonna have to
10
check
Things
that
I Hate
out.
About You or something
Right.
like, yeah.
Well, yeah. Widow's Bay is nothing like
Oh, I know, no. I feel
that.
like, is that the one with the guy?
Yes.
He was on Brothers and Sisters.
Matthew, is it Rice? Race? Reese?
Yeah, I met
Matthew
him.
Reese.
Yeah. I think I've seen parts of it. Yes.
It's
I
good.
don't.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining. And what I like about it is it's creepy and kind of funny. The episode that we watched last night was not funny. It was just creepy. But they're really good at the creep factor. And it's not like laugh out loud funny, although there are some laugh out loud moments. It's more parody. But it's definitely very entertaining. And then I'm trying to think. I cannot fucking wait until August because the Ted Lasso thing comes back on. You've
I
watched
need to
that.
catch up with Ted. I've only watched the first two seasons.
Oh
I
my
need to
God, you have
catch
to watch
up.
all of it. It's so fucking. I'm jealous of
I
you. I
know.
wish I was you because then I could just
Okay.
go watch it with fresh eyes.
I had a beef with him and Olivia Wilde. It was personal.
I know, I know. I th was it that she was
I don't know
served?
either of them,
I
mind you.
know.
But I love Olivia Wilde.
Is it because she was served while she was on stage?
It's fucked up. Like
Yeah.
that's exactly why. Yeah.
But I mean, did I heard that he had no choice on where she was served.
You can get a
I don't know that I don't know the details, but all I can say is I fucking love Ted Lasso. I love that
Yeah.
show and I'm so excited about the sequel or not the sequel, but you know, the new season. And I'm just trying to think of oh, and it's so funny because you know, Bob and I have watched I just this will be the last thing. But Bob and I have watched Girls. Like when I, okay, I just want to kind of talk about this with Lena Dunham because I
Okay.
feel like
I did watch that show. Yeah.
I didn't want to because everyone had decided Lena Dunham was a fucking bitch. And I didn't know anything about her. And I just kind of allowed that collective opinion to sway how I felt about her. I didn't hate her or anything like that. I just didn't give a shit. And everybody was talking about Girls, and I wouldn't watch it. So then I meet Bob, and he's like, "Oh my God, you have to watch Girls." And I'm like, eh. Finally, I watch it, and I like love the show. I think it's
It's
absolutely
good.
great.
It's
And
great.
yeah, and so now we've watched it a couple of times. But Lena Dunham, which I'm reading her book, and it's been a slow go because I haven't been listening. I listen to her book, I don't read it. But I have watched a lot of interviews with her since she wrote this book, and. You know, I find it fascinating because I think what happened was it was a combination of a couple of things. She wrote somewhere, I don't know if it was a book or whatever, but she had written that, you know, she peaked when she was little, something about her little sister, and I don't know, she touched her vagina or she looked at it or whatever she did. She was a curious little kid, and she looked at her sister's, vagina, and she admitted it. And then everyone called her a pervert. And she wasn't a pervert. She was just a kid. She was curious, like all kids are curious. She wasn't like an adult doing weird things. So there was that, and that still sticks to her. I still see people bringing that up. But I think what they did was they assumed she was Hannah Horvath. And Lena Dunham is saying she wrote Hannah Horvath to be toxic and a bad writer. It's like,
Yeah,
and
no,
she
she
is
I think she did
toxic.
it so, yeah, I think she did it so well that people assume it's
People
her.
just thought who she was. And it's so like we're watching it again. And it's interesting because Adam Driver in that first season is just awful.
Yeah, awful. Very, very
And it's
like,
like, the
get out
Marnie
of here.
character, I think it was the second episode that they were throwing a dinner party and Hannah was late. And her friend Marnie says, "I know where she is. She's having gross sex with that animal." Like, they have gross ass sex on that show. It is gross sex, and it is raw and it's real. And yeah, her character was a toxic, narcissistic fucking weirdo, and she was so good at it. And like she was so good that I think
And so was Adam.
people
Adam was good at
so
it
was
too.
Adam. Yeah, they were both so good. It's like it's just such a good show. And I think when you look at like you couldn't have had Girls without Sex in the City, but I think Girls is a more intelligent, or it's like the writing is more intelligent. I mean, I love Sex in the City, do not get me wrong. I love now to criticize it and watch like hate watch it, but love watch it, hate watch it.
Oh my God,
But
that's been that. I started watching Sex and the City just recently again. And all of my favorite characters changed.
what do you mean?
Like,
Like you see them
I feel
differently?
like, yeah, like I'm a
Yeah.
Samantha girl now. Like, I'm a Samantha all day, every day. Like,
Who were you
Carrie's in.
before?
I think I started as a Charlotte. Honestly, I was a goody two shoes looking for a husband. Like, this is what I was gonna do. And then I was like a little militant, like Miranda for a while. And then I kind of settled into a Carrie, but then was like, no, more Miranda. And now I'm just like, yeah, Samantha, all day,
I
every
always saw
day.
my,
She's
like,
got
I
her
always,
shit. She's got her shit
yeah.
together.
And she's just like, says it.
She says it, and she's like, and she is such a good friend.
Yeah.
Like, she is a good friend.
Yeah. She's not judgmental. That's what she's like, not my style.
Yeah, and she'll show up, she'll be there even when she doesn't want to be there.
Right.
And she doesn't judge. And
No. Yeah, and I mean, I always saw myself when I first found that show, and I completely fell in love with it back in, God, when was that? It was like 2003, I think. But I definitely identified as a Carrie, and then I would say I had most, the second was Miranda, and then Samantha. I've never been like a Charlotte, but
I'd say I was a Charlotte only when I was like younger,
yeah, I never was a Charlotte.
like early 20s.
I mean, I there was one guy that I thought I was going to marry, but I never really gave a shit about getting married, and I was never like her. Yeah, I was definitely. I still think I am a little bit. I'm very much like Miranda, but Miranda in the first six seasons, and not and just like that. Because, and just like that, Miranda. I don't know what the fuck happened to her.
I
She
don't know
just
what the fuck
went
happened to
all
her
over the place.
either. And it was like
She.
not a good representation of queer.
No, it wasn't. It was
I was
just,
like, what are you doing? Stop.
yeah,
Just stop everything.
everything about it was embarrassing. Eventually, I think she got a little bit better, but yeah, I've always been that kind of cynical Miranda. But yeah, I mean, I love watching these shows, like especially Girls, and really now I'm focusing on the fact that Lena Dunham did such a good job with the entire show, and then also with her specific character, because she played her timing is so weird. She's got like this really weird timing that makes it hilarious. And I love the guy who plays Elijah, and he need and I forget his real name, but he needs to be playing George Michael now.
Oh, yes.
He looks like Jared. He's okay. This guy was born to perform. He's so talented. And I know He doesn't look just like George Michael, but they could totally make him look like George Michael. But he's got to
Enough.
do it now.
Is that the guy? He's the singer. He's from Broadway,
Yes,
right?
yes. I can't remember
He's
his real name.
perfect. I forget it too, but he's
But he
amazing. He's
plays
amazing
Elijah.
in the Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon, yes. And yeah, he plays Elijah on the show. And oh, and there's a movie coming out this Friday. I don't remember the name of it, but I think it's on Netflix, and it's with him and Allison Janney, whatever her. And
Oh, what
I
a
don't know what it's
combo.
called, but I'm gonna watch it.
Just for the casting alone. Well, anything with
Exactly.
Allison Janney. I mean.
Exactly. You know what's funny? When I first met Bob and I was asking him about like women, like actors who he found attractive, he named Allison Janney. And I was like, wow. I was like really surprised. And
I get
that
it.
made
I
me
see
happy.
it. Yeah. Like
Because,
tall and like has her
yeah.
shit. Like she's just, sarcastic.
Yes. And it just made me think, wow, he has a really mature view of women. He's not just looking for the young, obvious one. So that was
Okay. Now
good.
my dogs have crept into the office and
And
they're
they're like,
surrounding me
Mom,
like a shark's, like I'm like on a surfboard.
Mom, you've been on too long. You have to come out and play with us now. All right, we're gonna let you go and hang out with your dogs. So,
I
all
blame my
right.
wife. She's out of town on a work trip, so.
It's all her fault. Oh, Sarah, it's just always a joy talking to you. So, like I always like, just tell everybody where you are, where to find you.
Can find me on all of the socials at Sarah Wood Writer, like writing things down, and at Sarah Wood on Blue Sky. And that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, you know, we'll talk again. So until we do.
Surprised that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.